Hi there, my name is Kathy Herring and I am a Holistic Mindset and Empowerment Life Coach. I want to welcome you today to Unleash Your Potential, discover how health and wellness can increase your confidence, inner self-worth, improve relationships, and live that life you love. Now, before I introduce today's guest, I would like to read to you a little bit about her bio and history. Dr. Achina Stein is board certified in both psychiatry and integrative holistic medicine. She received her degree of osteopathic medicine from UMDNJ School of Osteopathic Medicine in 1990. Since her training, she has worked in the public sector of mental health for over 20 years, 5 years of which were at East Bay Center in Barrington, Rhode Island, as medical director. She was awarded Exemplary Psychiatrist in 2008 by NAMI Rhode Island and was Clinical Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Human Behavior at the Warren Alpert Medical School of Brown University from 2002 to 2013, ending when she left to work at Visions Healthcare, which at the time was the largest functional medicine practice in the country. She completed extensive training in functional medicine and became a certified practitioner through the Institute of Functional Medicine. Currently, 90% of her practice is called Functional Mind LLC and is located in East Providence, Rhode Island. She has a small number of psychotherapy patients. I don't know why I'm stumbling over that word. And she has recently launched an online health coaching program to dismantle depression called Health Self Bootcamp LLC. Let's give a big welcome to Dr. Achina Stein.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to have you here.
I'm really happy to be here. Thanks.
Excellent.
For your
Oh, my pleasure. I was wanting to start with maybe something the audience is curious about. We need to know why practitioners are moving towards functional medicine. So I was wondering if you could share with us why you practice functional medicine and what can a patient expect from you?
Well, I started functional medicine serendipitously through finding health answers for my son. At the time, this was back in 2010, and I was practicing conventional medicine, and he went into a health crisis where he became acutely depressed and suicidal literally overnight. And he had a tiff with his brother. And before I knew it, he was standing on a 5-foot ledge, like ready to jump. And this came out of the blue. And I had no idea what was going on at the time and that it would happen so suddenly. So we were actually in Europe at the time. We had taken the kids out of school and traveling in India and in France. My husband's a professor and he was on sabbatical, and we basically decided to take the kids out, all three of our children out of school and to homeschool them during that time. And so we were in this little apartment and, so we were kind of stuck in France. And when we got back home, I had him see a psychiatrist and he was put on meds. And, he got a little bit better. But what really, and he was no longer, unsafe. He was having trouble with his attention and sleep and the depression and also anxiety. So he had a lot of these symptoms. And they were sort of taken care of to some degree with medication, but he just wasn't himself. He's just not the same kid. And what really, really floored me, and I knew there was something else going on with him, because he also had a complete change in his attention, in that he had this photographic memory. You could tell him one thing and he would know it forever. Hear a song, he knew all the words. And so he suddenly was unable to really concentrate. It was a sudden change. And the other thing was that he just couldn't read anymore. And I was like, something else is going on here. And no one could really answer those questions. And no matter who I brought it to, no one could really answer those questions. And so I started researching myself about something's going on here that is not what I'm used to seeing in my own patients. And actually at the same time, I was looking for alternative ways of healing for my own patients. So I was on this track already of looking for alternatives, treatments like doing an integrative program at West and with Andrew Weil and Tiriona Lodog. I'm sure I just butchered her name, but Tiriona, I think it's how you say it. But anyway, I just happened to come upon a practice, Visions Healthcare practice, and the doctors there saw him, and I had him evaluated, and eventually he was found to have significant food sensitivities, had celiac disease, and because of that, he was found to be nutritionally depleted and malnourished, actually, especially because of the diet that he had. Basically was treated there and eventually was able to come off of medications and was taking all sorts of supplements to bring his body back into balance. And now he's on even less. He's on no medications and is doing really, really well. And, that's basically how I got into functional medicine. And once you know what you know, it's kind of hard to go back,
Wow.
Yes. And so I actually left my job and asked to join Visions Healthcare, which is where he got his treatment. And I became, was on this new path of becoming certified as a functional medicine practitioner. Yeah. And that's all I do now, pretty much.
Well, the end results are awesome. But as he was going through that, you mentioned that you had to change his diet. But you mentioned that he could not read. And then
right.
That severe bout of depression. When that came about, what were you thinking? I mean, it must have been such a shock because he seems like he was such an exemplary student and doing mm-hmm. well, and he was a good son, and you're just,
right.
You must
yeah.
have been really shocked.
Yes, absolutely. It was a complete shock, especially being a psychiatrist.
Right.
I was like, I felt helpless. I felt completely helpless, and I couldn't find answers from anybody who was in my field. To help me with those things. And I either thought I was going crazy or there's got to be something else going on. So yeah, it definitely, what it came down to, the reason we found, and we figured this out literally 2 years later, because the thing that took the longest to get better was his ability to read. And we figured out that the reason he couldn't read was because he had double vision. And so what causes all of these problems, especially suddenly, is inflammation in the body. And inflammation in the body is going to affect people differently based on their genetics and, their lifestyle, their background, and what they're eating. So food is medicine for some people and poison for others. So sometimes people have sensitivities to foods that don't, that most people think are healthy, but it's not really good for that particular person. So you have to sort of figure out, what foods you're sensitive to. And if it's a lot of sensitivities, then it's figuring out, well, why, basically the big question that I'm always asking is, you're having this, but why? What happened? What happened before that? What happened before that? And, I put everything on a timeline to figure out, one, how long has this been going on? And, what are the different layers of things that you have to address? And it's really pulling away one layer at a time. And eventually you get down to the original root cause, believe it or not. So, it was basically doing that for him. And the root cause for him was his gut and him having celiac disease and us not knowing about it. He inherited a gene from my husband and one from me. It actually runs on his side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That was his root cause. And unfortunately, because we didn't know that as a child, he was putting gluten in his body for so many years and then just causing so much inflammation. And it caused him to have what we call increased gut permeability. And that's why he ended up having all these other food sensitivities as well. So, and he just had a very poor diet. He only ate white food. He did not eat foods that provide nutrition. I mean, all your vitamins and minerals really come from vegetables primarily. And you really need to eat a diverse, rainbow diversity of vegetables. And that's what really changes the microbiome in your gut. So that's, basically it. So to get back to the double vision, his double vision occurred because the muscles in his eyes became inflamed. And that's, and that eventually calmed down. And the way we figured that out, that it was double vision, is that I was teaching him how to drive. And he said, "Mom, which line am I supposed to follow? This one or that one?" It's like, there's only one line, and that, we took him to eye doctors and they confirmed that he had double vision, but they also weren't able to say, why does he have double vision? So, eventually that got better and better and better. But that was the one symptom that took the longest.
What a journey that you guys have been through, but I'm really glad that you found the root cause and was able to overcome it. I'm wondering if when he was younger, did he have any, prior to him not being able to read and becoming so depressed, did he have like stomach issues, stomach cramps?
Actually, yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but from a very young age, he had severe constipation. And this was as an infant. It was so severe that he actually figured out in order for him to have a bowel movement, he would have to sit on the toilet like a bird, squatting on the top. He would put his feet on the top lid and squat in the toilet. And that's actually the best way, honestly, to have a bowel movement, but he figured that out. He had that all his life. The other thing that he had all his life was eczema. Very, very severe eczema to the point where his hands almost looked reptilian. And he was such a dinosaur lover and he knew all the names of all the dinosaurs that he really took comfort in thinking that he was part dinosaur. So that's what we would say, we handled these things by putting creams on his hands or, just taking his time having a bowel movement. The pediatricians wanted to put him on laxatives, which I was not going to do. And obviously we put creams on his hands whenever we could, but it never went, those things never went away. And we kind of got, just used to living that way and not knowing that these were being caused by something. And those symptoms were actually the very first symptoms that went away, when we started changing his diet and treating his gut. They were the very first symptoms that went away. And that's how we knew we were on the right track. And my experience is that it is other physical symptoms that'll go away before depression, anxiety, or irritability, mood swings. They take much longer to go away because the brain is really, really sensitive. So but if I see a drop in these other symptoms, then we know that we're doing something going in the right direction. We're taking away those layers one at a time. And I just basically tell my patients that, eventually in 2 months or 3 months, you'll see a big difference in your mood. Some people do see a difference right away, but there are others, especially if you have depression for a very, very long time, that take much longer. And obviously it's also figuring out what are all the different layers and being able to address all those. So when people have things like Lyme disease or mold toxicity, those are layers that take a long time to address. And those are definitely, major root causes for some people.
Okay. I would like to recap how you stated that the food, your mind, your anxiety, your depression, your mood swings can all be linked to your diet, your lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're looking at what's causing inflammation in the gut. And when you have inflammation in the gut, you're going to have inflammation in other areas of your body, including the brain. So what we're always looking for, what is causing the inflammation? And the top five categories are foods, infections, toxins, and stress. And the fifth one is hormones. But I don't usually look at hormones until we look at the other four first. So unless it's stress hormones, but that falls under stress. So foods, infections, toxins, stress, and hormones. And you know, people probably are wondering, well, you know, well, why did it happen? If he's had all these symptoms for so long, why did it happen when he was 14? And it's hormone shifts that actually cause these things to come out. So he was in puberty. You know, so you could have signs early on, but your immune system tries to adjust to those symptoms and it finds a plateau. But when you hit a hormone change, that's like remodeling your house. You know, it's a huge shift that your immune system can't follow very quickly. And so a lot of times symptoms appear at times of puberty, at times of menopause or andropause, or pregnancy, you know, postpartum. Those are huge hormonal shifts.
Wow, that is good to know. I didn't know that link. Okay. So yeah. Hormonal shifts like puberty,
yes,
pregnancy, postpartum, and menopause, and
andropause.
Last one, andropause.
Well, men, you know, men are becoming depleted with testosterone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have read that, I believe it's 7 out of every 10 people, women are more affected by autoimmune diseases than men. Have you come across that? Is this why? Because they have more links with hormonal changes than the men?
I would imagine so. I don't really know the exact reason why. Hormones tend to protect women more than men because, you know, the estrogens and the progesterone. But I don't really know what the hormone connection is between autoimmune and women, you know, in particular having more autoimmune.
Okay. Well, sorry to change the subject. So your son was severely depressed and had those changes that were extremely noticeable at age 14, and that was in 2010. Mm-hmm. How is he doing today?
He's doing very well today. He did have a slip back in terms of being in college due to the stress of college and getting, you know, when you're living on campus, it's kind of hard to stick to that kind of a diet. And plus you're around people who are eating all sorts of things that aren't necessarily good for them. So you kind of eat with them, being up late at night and, you know, not keeping good sleeping hours. So all of those things began to impact on him. And once he graduated from college, he had to get right back into better eating habits and sleeping habits and dealing with stress, you know, better. Well, once he graduated college, he didn't have as much stress. But yeah, all of those things definitely impacted him during especially the last 2 years of college. But then he got right back on what he usually does in order to keep himself healthy, those lifestyle changes and the modifications that he made were really, really important for him to get back on, and he's doing great again. So it's definitely a long-term lifestyle change that you have to make and stick to. So he learns that the hard way by experimenting with different things, and I think most kids do experiment with things, and you know, you just have to get back on track. And I think a lot of people who make changes and they feel really good find, you know, that, you know, sometimes you slip off the track. It's just really getting right back. At least you know how to get back on track, and going back to those habits are really, really important.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that with us. You mentioned they have to make a lifestyle change, and it's a long-term, all their life, lifestyle change. There's got to be more to the lifestyle change than just nutrition, correct?
Right, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, sleep is really, really important because the body repairs, does a lot of repairing in the sleep phase of your life, you know, mm-hmm. that it's like plugging in your phone into your outlet, you know, charging your phone is the same. It's the same kind of thing. And if you don't charge your phone, it's just going to die, you know? So sleep is really, really important. And that's one of the big things that we work on, you know, is getting people sleeping and figuring out why they're not sleeping. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just habits, but it's also looking for underlying root causes like sleep apnea or, you know, other sleep disorders that might come into play. But generally it's habits. It's really having the habit and listening to your body and not pushing past and ignoring those signals that your body's constantly giving. People are always tired. Well, you know, why aren't you listening to your body and doing something about it as opposed to just go, 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 go? So part of the problem is the way our society is, and, you know, people are think that they have to run this rat race, but, you know, you can make changes and, you know, still accomplish your goals, but make changes in your habits to be able to do all of that in a healthy way, you know.
Okay.
So sleep is part of it, exercise, or not just, I mean, people don't like the word exercise because it makes them think, oh, I have to go to the gym every day. Really just movement, you know. So moving and working into your daily routine movement, you know, on a daily basis, as opposed to necessarily exercise. You can do so much just inserting little habit changes, like parking your car, you know, far from the building and walking, you know, finding ways to get up out of your seat every hour and walking around your office, you know, if you spend a lot of time sitting. I do sidekicks when I'm standing in line at the grocery store or pumping gas, you know. You know, I'm always stretching on one way or the other instead of just standing, you know. There's mm-hmm. ways to work those kinds of things in. You just have to think about how you spend your day and say, okay, well, you know, and thinking out of the box, you know. Now some people might think, oh, I don't want to look stupid, you know, doing a stretch at the gas pump, but you know, you might actually be sort of giving other people ideas when you start doing it, you know, right? It's like, oh, that's a good idea. I've actually had somebody walk by and it's like, wow, that's a really good idea. You know, it's just stretching while I'm pumping gas or stretching mm-hmm. while I'm standing at my cart, you know, in the grocery store.
Yes, making good use of your time.
Right. Yeah, yes. Turning on music and dance in the kitchen, you know?
Excellent idea, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got movement. We got do things to de-stress. So don't pack your day full of things. Leave some room for some reflection or time to have movement. And then more sleep or get plenty of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Nutrition.
Right.
What about toxins? How do you...
Yeah, well, there's all different kinds of toxins. I mean, we're surrounded by toxins all the time. And people don't realize all the detergents that they use, the kinds of things that you actually put on your body, you know, from shampoo, conditioner, lotions, suntan lotion in particular, you know, has toxins. So it is a matter of looking around your house and what you put on your body. Those things absorb into your skin, you know. Or you're inhaling those things, you know, you're inhaling the gasoline while you're pumping it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it is reducing the total load. That's important to do, you know, and, you know, replacing, let's say, air refresheners with essential oils, you know. You know, some people say, well, there are essential oils that have toxins in it too, but it's getting, you know, good brands that you can trust but at least those oils have a natural existence as opposed to a synthetic existence. So there are natural essential oils that you can use as an air freshener instead of the synthetic air fresheners. I mean, there are plenty of healthy ways of cleaning your house, you know, and there's so much stuff online that can teach you that.
Okay.
But I was going to ask,
when you mentioned the lotions and the shampoos, is there anything in particular that they're looking for that they don't want in that product that's the toxin, or are you aware of what they should be not wanting in their product?
There's a great website that you can go to that is the Environmental Working Group, www.ewg.org, and they have lists of all sorts of toxins, and you can actually put in the product, and there's a website that's also connected to the Environmental Working Group. I believe it's called Skin Deep, where you can put your cosmetic product or shampoos, conditioners, whatever products that you put on your body, personal products, and you can put that product into that website, and it'll tell you what all the ingredients are and which ones are not safe.
Okay, thank you for sharing that with us. That's a great idea and knowledge, good knowledge to know.
So ultimately, the thing that I really do is heal the gut, basically, you know, and you had asked me before about, you know, the five R's, right? And so what we want to do is search for what's causing inflammation, like I said, foods, infections, toxins, stress, and hormones. But we want to remove what's causing one of the first R's. The first R is remove. We want to remove what's causing inflammation. And then whenever there is inflammation, especially in the gut, there it causes malabsorptions of sorts, and it's dependent. It could be anywhere from not chewing your food or not salivating. You need to salivate in order to. That's where digestion begins. So we look to make sure that people are digesting appropriately. So we want to make sure that digestion begins actually with your sense of smell. So as soon as you smell food, or if you're looking at a magazine, you know, you see food in a magazine, what's the first thing that happens? Like, oh, that really looks good. And you're salivating, right? So salivating is the first place where you are digesting in terms of inside your body. And then chewing your food, masticating, actually sends signals to your gut that food's coming. So it starts, you know, releasing hydrochloric acid and pancreatic enzymes and bile salts in order for the food to be digested. So sometimes what happens is that people vacuum their food down. They don't even know that they're eating. It's like, did I even eat? You know, and they're running from one place to the other with food in their hand, eating in the car. You know, they're not even connecting to the food. And so that actually disrupts your ability to digest. And so you're not going to absorb the vitamins and the minerals and the proteins and the fats that your brain needs. And so it's really important to make sure that we are absorbing our food in order to get the nutrition from it. Obviously assuming that, you know, you're eating the right foods, first of all, but then you want to make sure that you're absorbing those foods. So there's, you know, we do an assessment based on whether your habits, again, habits of eating and taking the time to eat. And so we want, the second R is replacing the nutrients and all the raw materials and cofactors that are necessary for your body to work efficiently. So that's the second R, replace. And the third R is re-inoculate, which is re-inoculating the gut microbiome. So many times people have had numerous rounds of antibiotics, which wipes out the gut microbiome, at least, you know, a lot of the good bacteria. And if they're on the antibiotics, it's obviously the purpose is to get rid of the bad bacteria, but you're also getting rid of a lot of the good bacteria. And what happens is that other bacteria classes move in and basically make a house there, and you know, it increases the possibility of fungal infections to also take over. People know about C. diff, Clostridia species is Clostridia difficile. People get C. diff when you take lots of antibiotics, and that is a type of bacteria that can also take house on a chronic level. So other things move in and cause problems with the body, because your microbiome is a major part of your immune system. So people's immune systems change based on their microbiome changing. And then, so we re-inoculate the microbiome and feed the gut microbiome with appropriate things. Again, our diversity of vegetables is the best thing to give your microbiome in terms of real food. Then the last phase, or the fourth phase, is repair. We want to repair the gut lining so that everything gets the issue of what we call, like I said, leaky gut. I think I mentioned that before, which is increased gut permeability that seals the gut lining and prevents people from having reactions. And autoimmune illnesses are related to increased gut permeability. So many times people's immune systems and autoimmune issues really, really improve by doing these four phases. And the last phase is rebalancing. You want to rebalance whatever caused these shifts in the first place. You know, so it's looking at the stress, and, you know, was it stress that caused the problem in the first place? So sometimes when two or three things happen to people, boom, 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 one after the other, that causes the body to go tilt. And so it's stress issues that can, especially if it's rapid fire, when, you know, you lost your job, and then you're someone in your family passes away, and then you have a concussion from a sports accident. When three things happen together at the same time, it can really cause the immune system to go tilt, and that's when a lot of symptoms come up. So yeah, we look for those things and try to figure out how we could change the previous problems.
Okay, that's good to know. You had mentioned that in phase four, I think we're looking at repairing the gut permeability.
Mm-hmm.
Does the food they're eating begin to work on that, or do they need to be being seen by like a functional doctor? I mean, how does that work?
Well, increased permeability can be caused by those five factors that I mentioned. Well, primarily the four. So foods, infections, toxins, and stress. All those four can cause increased gut permeability. So the hormone changes don't necessarily directly cause increased gut permeability, except when there's a drop off of those hormones, you know. So it's the shifts that causes shifts in other areas. So we look for the first four in terms of connecting to increased gut permeability.
Okay. So basically the body in most cases will take care of itself and begin repairing once the five R's have been put into place and people are changing their lifestyle.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It can happen pretty quickly. I mean, if you do it all the right things, you can feel better within 2 months, you know, and on average it takes about 2 to 6 months, barring the other more serious issues like Lyme's disease and mold issues. I mean, there are some people who have stress in their life that they just can't change, like taking care of it, you know, and being a caregiver for an elderly parent that might have dementia, or taking care of someone who, you know, if you're sometimes you just there are certain things you just can't change. So it's learning how to manage that kind of stress and really insert time to take care of yourself in order for you to be able to do those things. So I find that stress is the hardest thing for most people to be able to sort of take down and change. Because meditation is a practice. Meditation and is a practice that supports the parasympathetic system. When you're under stress, you're in fight flight, which is the sympathetic system, and the parasympathetic system is what where you need to be in order to de-stress, essentially. And so it's learning strategies about how to do that and doing it on a regular basis. So exercise supports the parasympathetic system, and yoga, you know, these are all practices, Tai Chi and Qigong, you know, these are all practices that, you know, people can learn, but it takes time. You have to invest time and energy to be able to do those things.
Absolutely correct. And one of the ones that they might can do, such as you do your stretches standing in line, another thing some people can do is the deep breathing exercises.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You know, inhaling and exhaling, just, you know, a lot of people don't like meditation because it's sitting in one place, and you don't have to be sitting in one place staring at a candle and saying om. You know, there's mm-hmm. so many ways you can work in those kinds of strategies. So I tell my patients, if you like to sing, think about singing. If you like to sing, you're exhaling when you're singing, right? And it's music. Music supports the parasympathetic system. So sing, you know, you have to exhale, and it's more exhaling than inhaling. You want to exhale longer than the inhale. And that's essentially, you know, doing deep breathing, right? Especially if you're singing from the belly.
Yeah, absolutely. You have offered us so much knowledge and good tips today. The story about your son, I feel like our audience will, somebody out there is going to be able to relate to that. And I'm so glad that you were vulnerable and didn't mind sharing about that, because that will help people out there that are watching this video. And then I appreciate the 5 R's and how that works and the intricate details you kept sharing with us. You did a really good job. Is there anything else that you would like to add before we come to a close?
Yeah, you know, I've had conversations with people who, you know, have had depression from trauma, and they think that all of their depression is just from that trauma. And they might be in years of therapy, and I'm a psychotherapist as well. I treat actually trauma and dissociative disorders and using a psychodynamic, psychoanalytic approach, and I do cognitive behavioral therapy. So I see a lot of people who have trauma issues. And I have found that when you treat the gut, people become more able to manage their issues in terms of how the trauma has impacted their life. And I find that people who have worked with me and were seeing therapists for, let's say, 4 years, mm-hmm. that once I've treated their gut, they are starting to make connections in their therapy. It's like, oh, yeah, this happened and that happened. And like, they're just processing their emotional issues at a much deeper and faster level. I find that to be amazing. And we have patients that come in very, very irritable and anxious and depressed, but also almost like a personality disorder. And after I treat their gut, they just are happier. They don't have those personality issues that they used to have. So sometimes people think that you know, if they have a personality disorder, been told that there's a personality disorder, that can't change, that it's something about them that they can't change. And I don't believe that that's true. We've seen enormous changes, you know, in our patients, in their personality, in their ability to process trauma. And so I would say, don't give up on yourself. You know, there's definitely other ways of getting at your issues other than just talk therapy or medications. There's certainly a place for talk therapy and medications, but there's so many people that kind of hit a rut or they get stuck, or the medications stop working, or they have side effects from the medications and can't tolerate them. I mean, those are the people that I end up seeing because they just, you know, want other ways of dealing with the issues. And there's certainly a place for those things, but you know, I'm offering another alternative besides. And there are patients that I still give medications to. I mean, and I say, no, you have to take a medication because of X, Y, Z. I mean, because, or they'll come to me saying, you know, I'm seeing you because I want to stop my medications. And like, well, that's not a good idea. And I give them the reasons why it's not a good idea. You know, so, you know, I'm definitely still practicing conventional medicine and also practicing functional medicine. But I just find that I don't need to give medications as often. And I find that many people come off the medications because they've gotten to the root cause of the problem and the medications are no longer necessary. So I say, stay on your medications. Let's treat your gut and then let's see what we can do.
That's amazing. And that's exactly what had happened to your son too. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that you shared that. There will be so many people listening to this that will begin to hopefully make some changes in their diet and some improvement with their mind.
But you know, you need guidance because there's so much diet information out there and there's no one diet that people should follow. And actually the diet should change as you're changing. And so, so, you know, initially there might be some things that we'll take out and add in order to bring a balance. But at some point you're going to settle into what's the right diet for yourself. And it's not one diet, you know, so I'll give a diet for the first 2 months and then I'll shift it to another diet in the next 2 months. And so, because we're making changes, you know, and your body's changing. So you want to change the diet based on what's going on too.
That's a good point too. And diets seem to present themselves as one diet suits all, but it does not at all.
Right. Yeah. And actually, to be honest, I don't like to even use the word diet because it sounds like it's a temporary thing. I'd rather say food plan, you know, as opposed to a diet, because we're talking about lifestyle changes that are long-term. That's going to be right for you, you know, so, and that it is finding the diet that's right or the food plan that's right for you.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this. You've had a wealth of knowledge today and I'm really glad that you were here today. Do you have a free gift that you would like to offer anybody in the audience and how can they reach you?
I actually have started an online health coaching program. You know, my current practice is called Functional Mind and it's a brick and mortar place where I see patients one-on-one, but I'm starting to book out a few months now and we have a waiting list. And what I thought I would do is offer a health coaching program for people who are very, very busy and have too far to travel. And it's not a doctor-patient relationship, it's a coaching program. And it's really for those people who are functioning relatively well and have jobs and, you know, are busy and are motivated, self-motivated and disciplined. And they just need to know, be told how and what to do and in what order. And that's called Healthy Self Bootcamps. And so I'm offering a free masterclass about some of the things that we talked about. And then at the end of that, if they are appropriate for the online health coaching program, they can call me and I can talk with them for 30 minutes and try to figure out whether or not that program would be right for them.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so what is your website? How can they find you?
My website is Functional Mind. It's www.f as in Frank, X, N as in Nancy, Mind. .com.
Perfect. Okay. Well, again, thank you for being here. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really hope that we can make changes for people and offer some other options than just medications and psychotherapy.
Definitely. Definitely. And audience, I want to thank you for being here today, and I hope to see you guys tomorrow.